Praise God.
Preach.
All right, we can eat later. Let's preach. Amen. Open your Bibles to Psalm 51. I'm going to preach quick and give you a thought the Lord's laid on my heart. And it may not seem that it would be that appropriate for the hour, but I've learned a long time ago just to preach what God says, whether it's a... If it's Easter Sunday and God tells you to preach a Christmas message, just do that. You know, or whatever. If it's the 4th of July, preach about Easter. Just whatever God lays on your heart. So I want to preach this morning out of Psalm number 51. And I can't preach out of this without having a kind of a burden this morning every time I've ever preached out of this psalm. One of the saddest passages of Scripture is when King David had committed his awful, terrible sin, stole a man's wife and then had him killed and covered it all up and got it all taken care of. And then the man of God came back. What a preacher. Boy, I like a preacher like that. Stuck his finger in that king's face. Can you imagine? It was all on the line for Nathan. When you walk up to a king and rebuke him back in them days, brother, that meant your head usually got cut off. But he rebuked him and told him what God said. And here's what David said in Psalm 51. He said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts and in the hidden part. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean." That means to take that plant and dip it in that basin of blood and strike it over the doorpost is what that means. He said, "Wash me in the blood," is what he's saying. "Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." Here's what I'm going to preach on this morning for a few minutes. How to rebuild after sin. How to rebuild after sin. Me and Debbie was talking this week. It seems like every day you hear about something terrible happening. It's like every day you hear about some Christian that failed or a preacher or something bad, and you look around at people's lives, and I told somebody the other day, I said, you know, humanly speaking, I'm just speaking as a man, sometimes you feel like that you're just spinning your wheels, you ain't getting nothing done. Sometimes you feel like, my Lord, am I accomplishing anything? I preach hard and I run the roads, and most of what a pastor does, you don't see. Probably 90% of my job, you don't ever see it. So that's why people think pastor don't do nothing. They see him preach a couple times a week, and they think that's all he does. That's the fun part. That's just the 10%. The other 90% you don't see. But sometimes you feel like, my God, it ain't taking no effect. It ain't helping nobody. Nobody's listening. And then once in a while, somebody will come along, or you'll see something happen, or Miss Danielle caught me and Debbie out in the yard and told us something a few minutes ago. Little things like that makes you know, just keep on going and keep on trying, keep preaching, keep going, because there is a few that's getting it. There are a few that's listening. And brother, sin has just done so much damage. You know, our politicians and our leaders and you know, you can watch athletes and movie stars. I saw in the news this week, I forget which one it was, one of them movie stars that's just throwed their life all to pieces. I told Debbie, I said, them people just don't get it. They don't understand what's got them in that dilemma they're in. But they've went off into sin and seeking their own way and doing their own thing. And brother, sin always has a payment. I'm telling you, brother, I preached on it. I preached on it my whole life. And brother, I'm going to keep preaching on it. I'm going to keep preaching on it. I'll tell you, if just a handful gets it, if just a few of these young people get right and keep their life clean, thank God it's worth it. I'll tell you, it's worth every mile of the way. It's worth every sermon. It's worth every tear you shed. It's worth all the discouragement. It's worth having to deal with church members that don't care. Brother, it's worth it if you see a handful that gets it. Sin is deceiving and dangerous and destructive. Sin is a debt. Sin is deforming. It's delusional. Sin is difficult. It's demanding. It's demoralizing. Sin will put you in denial. Sin is a departure from the truth. Sin is depressing. Sin is a descent off into something bad. It always takes you down. Sin is disabling. Sin will make you incapacitated. It'll destroy your life. Brother, there's no way in a million years I could preach and tell you what sin will really do to you. People fall off into sin and go off into sin by following their own desires or by following the influence of others or by following the temptation of the devil. But brother, every time without exception, it always has its payment. I believe it's me and Jeff one day was talking about how, how people, you know, get hooked on drugs and alcohol and different things of the flesh and how it grips them, and over time, they just can't seem to get loose from it. Oh, can I tell you young people something this morning? The easiest thing in the world is just don't stop. Oh, once you start it, brother, these people here will tell you this morning, those of us that's 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s, brother, getting started on something and getting off of it's just about a miracle. Oh, brother, listen, it takes more than rehab. It takes more than AA. It takes more than a dry out clinic. Oh, brother, it takes something happening deep down inside of you. And, brother, it's a supernatural work of God, and you need that in your life this morning. I want to mention this morning the reality of sin. Salvation saves the sinner, but it don't take away his ability to sin. Sin cannot take your salvation, but sin can take your peace and your joy. It'll take your rational thinking. It'll take your mind. It'll take your body, and eventually it'll take your life. Listen, you can go down here to this cemetery right down the street. That's not where Travis comes and gets his flowers. He gets his girlfriend. Y'all know that? You know, some flowers you got your day, it said my deepest sympathy. Read it close. You'll find out. I'm just kidding. You ain't got a... Well, I done started a fight. Amen. Well, at least he gives her flowers. Why don't even do that? Bless his heart. Amen. But I'm just saying, you go to that cemetery, you see where people live short lives. And I guarantee you, I don't know them people, know anything about them. But it's sin that puts people in an early grave. I want to tell you kids something this morning. If you want to shorten your life, you just go off and do what you want to and live it up and do anything you want to do. And you listen to them idiots that you call friends, and your life will be short. It'll be cut short. They'll lay you in an early grave, and your mom and daddy will be crying over you. Brother, that's the grim reality of sin and what it'll do to you. Amen. It'll destroy your life. Preacher, why are you preaching so hard on that? I ain't got no intention of slowing down now. Listen, brother, the reality is that it's out there, and we got some good kids in our church, some good teenagers, and some good young people. But look up here, I ain't crazy. I ain't stupid. I know sin is still out there dangling right in front of them. I want to tell you something, brother. There's men and women that go off into sin that's in their 50s and 60s and even 70s. Brother, just because you got a little age don't mean you're safe. Oh, no, brother. I'll tell you, sin will just take you down. It'll run you. It'll wipe you out just like it would if you're 21 years old. I want to tell you something this morning. That's why the Bible said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By heeding thereunto the word of God. I know I didn't quote that word for word, but he said, how are you going to keep yourself clean? Put yourself in the Bible. Read the Bible. Study the Bible. Read it every morning. Read it every night, and it'll keep you clean. Amen. The reality of sin. And secondly, I want to mention the results of sin. That's really where I want to preach at this morning. What it'll do to you. Here was a man that was a king. David was king, greatest king of the greatest nation on earth. As a matter of fact, Jesus is a direct descendant of David. When Jesus comes back, the Bible said he'll ascend the throne of his father David, a physical earthly kingdom in Jerusalem. Now, David was a great man. David wasn't a street person. David wasn't a thug. He wasn't a hip hop or a rap artist. David was an honorable man. As a matter of fact, God said that David was a man after his own heart. David loved God. David wasn't just one of them kings that sat around and had people wait on him and hand and foot and eat and drink and have parties. David was a man of honor and a man of character. David went out and war and battle and fought with his men. And David had character and integrity. But the results of sin took him down. Amen. Sin will waste the child of God. Look at verse 2. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Your life will be wasted if you mess around with sin. If you fool around sin a little bit, the thing about sin is it's so progressive and it seems so harmless when it starts out. I know y'all have heard me tell this, but I remember the first time I ever drunk a beer when I was 16 years old. I'd give anything if I could go back. I'm 52. I don't even know how many years that is. It's about 35, 40 years. But I'd give anything if I could go back and undo that and never touch it. Amen. Because I remember thinking the first time, I thought, well, this ain't so bad. Daddy jumps up and down, preaches and hoops and hollers and sweats and spits and carries on. And Daddy get on the street corner and preach to people about the dangers of liquor and beer and alcohol and all that stuff. And I thought, what's the big deal? It ain't that bad. Oh, but brother, just after a year or two went by and I got hooked on that stuff, I began to realize how destructive it really was and how it really did have its claws and its hooks down in me. I want to tell you, sin will waste you. Just because you're saved, don't you think that you can play around in sin and that it won't take you down? Your life will be a wasteland. Amen. Secondly, the results of sin is sin wars against the mind. Verse 3, David said, I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. When you start messing around with sin, your heart, you might be saved, but your mind ain't right. Amen? It's always on your mind. Always thinking about it. You can't hide it. You might think you can, but you can't. I mean, you might hide it from this one or that one. It's like the old saying goes, you can fool some of the people some of the time, you can fool all the people some of the time, and you can fool some of the people all the time, but you don't fool God none of the time. You don't ever fool God. He knows. He's watching. The Bible said the eyes of the Lord run to and fro, beholding the good and the evil. God knows when you're playing around in sin. God's watching every move you make. Amen. You know, when your mouse is running around on that screen, it clicks on something, Jesus is standing there looking over your shoulder. He's watching. He knows what's on your hard drive and what's on your entertainment center. Preach it, sister. Amen. Sin wars against the mind. Your mind, Paul said, my mind's a battlefield. Not only that, but sin weighs on the conscience. Look at verse 4. He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Listen, brother, the thing about it, it weighs on your conscience. When you got sin in your life, you know what it'll do to you? You're always wondering and thinking, who knows about it? Wonder why he acted that way. Amen. She's acted funny. I saw so-and-so at the grocery store, and she didn't want to speak to me. I saw the preacher uptown, and he wouldn't hardly wave at me. Oh, my gosh, I bet he knows what I'm doing. I bet somebody's told him. I bet they know. David said, my sin is ever before me. He said, it's on my conscience. He said, I know I've sinned against people, but ultimately my sin is against the Holy God. And when you reach that point, you've reached a place of repentance. Amen. There's people sitting right here this morning. Your problem is, it ain't me, and it ain't him, and it ain't her. It's you. You need to look at yourself and then face a holy God and say, Lord, listen, I've heard every excuse in the book. I've heard people say, well, I don't come to church because of this, because of that. I about felt like smacking a woman just yesterday. If Kim hadn't been on the porch with me, I would have probably. Her and Gunner stand back, come on, preacher, let it go. Drop it, let it go, come on. I mean, people make up all kinds of excuses, but here's the ultimate, brother. It really, really boils down. It's between me and God. I mean, I can go through this life saying, well, I don't serve God. I don't go to church because Sam's a deacon down there, and I don't think he does right. Ronnie plays the piano, and I'm good as he is. Or Brother Heath goes to church. Oh, no, brother, when you die, you're going to stand before God, and you're going to face him. It's between you and God, and sin weighs on your conscience. Sin wearies the heart. Look at verse 8. He said, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. And verse 12, he said, restore the joy unto me. Sin wearies your heart. The joy is gone. Remember how it used to be when you first got saved? Brother Joe was talking about this morning. Man, it's like, he's like a baby. You know how babies are? Somebody's carrying them around, feeding them and burping them and doing all. Some of us still like that, but amen. But every woman in here is like, amen to that, brother. But when you're a baby, everything's done for you. When you first get saved, the Lord's carrying you around and babying you, petting you, and then he puts you down, let you walk on your own a little bit, let you stumble and fall and get a boo-boo and skin your knee and hurt yourself a little bit and get back up. It teaches you to walk, and it teaches you to have a little faith. God will help you if you can't help yourself, but the things you can do, God wants you to do. And what you can't do, God will help you do those things. But I'm telling you this morning that sin will, it'll weigh on your conscience and it'll weary the heart. It makes your heart where you don't have joy. And when you first got saved, you had all the joy just bubbling in your soul. And maybe you don't have that now. Maybe one thing caused that to happen. Sin. Sin weakens the body. Verse 8 said that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Tell you what sin will do to you. Not only will it take your joy and take you, it'll take those tears. And it'll take that shout and raising your hand. That's why some people won't testify in church. Their joy's gone. But it'll eventually take a toll on your physical body. David said, the bones that thou hast broken. In other words, brother and sister, sooner or later, you just keep that sin, you keep harboring that, keep petting it, and keep putting up with it. You keep babying that sin and petting it and hiding it and thinking you got it under control. Sooner or later, it'll take an effect on your mind and your heart, and sooner or later, it'll catch up with your body, and it'll start weighing you down. And brother, it'll make you age earlier. It'll make you have health problems. There's people right now today, brother and sister, that looks like they're 100 years old because of their sin. And they're only 40 or 50 years old. Amen. Sin will do that to you. Amen. We saw a movie star on TV the other day. Debbie said, come here, I want you to look at this. This woman had so many facelifts. I mean, she's like this. Weird looking, man. Looked like a puppet or something. But you know what? She's still old. And she's still in sin. I mean, why not just age gracefully? If you're going to be bald-headed, be bald-headed. If you're going to be gray-headed, be gray-headed. Whatever. I'm just saying, brother, sin will take a toll on you. And it'll weary your body. It'll weaken your body. And the Bible said, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30, Paul said, it'll take a toll on your body. If you want to stay healthy, it's going to take more than... It's going to take more than that. I'm tired. Brother Heath, go get me a chicken leg. But listen, sin will weaken your body. Not only that, but sin wounds the spirit. Verse 10, look at verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You'll have a wounded spirit. You know what some people's problem is? Why they won't go to church, won't live right? They got hurt. They got hurt, not physically, but spiritually they got hurt. I can't believe what happened out at that church. The preacher did this or somebody at the church did that. They're wounded in their spirit. And David had the wrong spirit. He said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. He said, I got a bad spirit about it. Listen, I've seen people in churches had a bad spirit, man. I mean, they just need a devil cast out of them. You got a bad attitude and a bad spirit. Brother, that comes from sin. You got some kind of bitterness in your heart you ain't repented of. And sometimes it may be a husband and wife. It cooled off right there. Let's just park right here. That's what you do when you get a snag and you're out fishing. You get hung up on bottom. You just circle a while. Hey, man, you don't break the line. Just keep circling. Maybe that's what's wrong with some of our families and some of our couples and some of our people, brother and sister in our churches. People, they got the wrong spirit. And maybe it ain't somebody in the church. Maybe it's somebody at the house. Maybe it's something went wrong behind closed doors. And mom and daddy is fighting it out and bringing that mess with them to church. Yeah. Amen. If you ain't going to get it right, don't bring the junk here. I don't want it. I got enough of my own to deal with. That's all I can do to slap her around and keep her straight. I don't want to take on another one. Sin wounds the spirit and sin will wither the lips. Verse 13, he said, then will I teach transgressors thy ways and sinners shall be converted unto thee. In other words, you'll get to where, after a while, sin will get you where your shout's gone, your testimony's gone, your witness is gone. You know why people don't carry tracts and why they don't witness? They just ain't got nothing to say. You ever notice that? You ever run into somebody proud of their grandkids? They pull pictures out. I mean, anybody that's got one gray hair, you got any grandkids? Matter of fact, I do, and they start pulling pictures out and showing them to them. You're like, oh, Lord, here we go. Yeah, there's little E.T., and there's Spanky and Buckwheat. Yeah, they're beautiful. Lying like a dog. Amen. Do like me. Be a real redneck. Carry pictures of your cars and trucks around. You don't have a picture of your wife or nobody. This is this car, and I said, ain't that right, Brother Jeff? Amen. David said, one time, why don't you got a picture of me? I said, you're normally with me. They know what you look like. Praise God. But what I'm saying is a man talks about what he loves and a man talks about what he's excited about. And brother, when sin gets in your heart and life, it'll get to the place, it'll take your joy and take your shout and your testimony. And that's why when you get in a good meeting, you know, and God's moving and blessing, maybe you go to camp, kids get all fired up and everybody's testifying. 2 or 3 months later, you can't pull a gun on and get them to testify. Somebody give us a testimony. Somebody give us a testimony. Somebody give us a testimony. You know why? Because their lips are withered. You know what that word means? To dry up or shrivel as a loss of moisture. The freshness of your lips is gone. You don't have anything to say because the sin has gotten your life. It'll take your shout and your song, your statement, your testimony. You can't shout. There's no presence of God. You can't sing. There's no joy. You can't testify. There's no reality in your life. Until you get that sin out, it ain't going to come back. You can fake your way through it, but it ain't the same. Don't you love it when somebody gets up and they love God and boy, they're bubbling over and they can't really sing that good, but they just got God. They're just glowing. You're like, sing it, brother. Yeah, right. Lay it on us. Like Miss Alma said this morning, bring it on. Bring it. That's right. And brother, listen, and you know that's a sign when somebody really gets on fire for God, they want to go with you soul winning or they want to sing. I don't know what that is about the singing. Everybody I've ever seen get fired up for God, they want to borrow your songbook and take it home. And then they'll come back. And bless their hearts, sometimes they sound like, I mean, they sound like a cat in a room full of rocking chairs, caterwauling. But you can tell they got something in here. It ain't all about who can carry the best tune. It's about who's got something to say, brother. And that's the main thing. And brother, sin will take away that shout and that joy. I want to mention real quickly, last of all, the remedy, the results of sin and the reality and the results. But what about the remedy for sin? In order to come back, Ronnie, come on the piano. In order to come back from a sin's destruction, three things have got to happen. First, there's a matter of confidence. You got to believe this. It's happened to other people. Don't go through life saying, well, preacher, you just don't know what I've done, blah, 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 blah. Did you know the Bible said there's nothing new under the sun? Whatever you do, it's been done before. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's hath no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. You're sitting here and you might be sitting here and say, preacher, you just don't know. I used to be a drug dealer. You might even be one now, but you need to get right and quit doing that. But you don't know what we've done. It's common. The devil's been dealing them cards for a long, long time. And the devil's been hooking people and dangling sin in front of them for a long time. You ain't the first one. Don't go through life thinking, well, I can't get right because I've done something that's so bad, nobody even knows. Hey, there's people done things. You know, Paul, he used to have Christians arrested, and they'd kill them, execute them. He'd go out and get him another gang of them, take them back. Innocent people. Don't you think that's pretty bad? There's a matter of confidence. You got to believe it. You just got to believe God. You got to. There's also a matter of confession. You just got to confess your sin. I can't do it for you. Nobody else can do it for you. I can't repent for Brother Kevin or for Brother William. They can't repent for me. I got to do my own repenting. I got to do my own praying, my own getting right. It's a matter of confidence. It's a matter of confession. You got to come to an old-fashioned altar and pray. The Bible said, in 1 John 1:9, what did he say? If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins. Now, if you're sitting here this morning, you got some sin in your life and you just can't conquer and control and you're ashamed of it, I don't blame you. I'm ashamed of mine too. Just come up here and put it under the cross and confess it. God came back to Adam and Eve in the garden. It's all covered up. God said, what are y'all doing? Nothing. We're just hanging out. What are you doing with them leaves on? Well, we kind of made a mistake, Lord. I say you did. The Lord said, Adam, you can't cover your sin up with a leaf because that's a works religion. You can't do it. A leaf won't cover up your sin. You can't cover your own sin. Your sin has to be covered by blood. And God went out there in the jungle and found a little lamb and cut its throat and made them coats of skins, and that's where the blood sacrifice started. But God talked to Adam. He said, what are y'all doing? God knew what they'd done. Finally, Adam confessed. And ever since then, God wants a man to confess just like you want your kids to confess when they do something wrong. We can't deal with this until you confess it. And then thirdly, there's a matter of cleansing. I already quoted the verse, if we confess our sins. If you'll go back and read that Psalm 51 when you get home, all through there David said, my transgression, my sin, my iniquity. David was claiming it. He was owning it. It's mine. It's me. That's why David repented. That's how David repented. You can't repent by saying, Lord, don't you love it when people pray and they say, if we've committed any sins. Really? If you've committed any sins? Lord, we know we've sinned. We're a bunch of dirty, stinking sinners. Have mercy on us, Lord. That's what David did. He said, my sin is ever before me. Wash me thoroughly. That word thoroughly is in the King James Bible. The new translators took it out because they want to make money and they don't know what they're talking about. But thoroughly means all over, but thoroughly means inside and out, all through you. There's a difference. And when you come and pray this morning, pray that God will cleanse you thoroughly and that He'll purge you with hyssop. Your sins are paid for on the cross of Calvary. We're going to have an invitation this morning. If you got something in your life you need to talk to Him about, now would be a good time. Let's stand this morning, heads bowed.